When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, welcome to Tyrus and Timpf. I'm, of course, Tyrus, and my co-captain, the Timpf.
Hello.
Lots to talk about in this week. I had my first real Twitter battle.
Oh, yeah?
And my first, like, I think I got a rivalry going. There was some ill things said about me. And I'm, it looks like I'm feuding with DL Hughley and Don Lemon.
What? So, I didn't see this. I haven't really been on Twitter a lot lately. What the hell happened?
Well, I took offense to Ice Cube being called a sellout.
Okay.
And by individuals who've literally been doing nothing but that their entire career. But I'll leave them nameless. But so I went on a rant, but like, you're going to talk about the most do-it-yourself black man in probably the history of entertainment. I mean, even back when NWA started,
yep,
and NWA was a huge influence as me as a kid, it was always NWA featuring Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
Because Ice Cube was too smart and refused to give up his rights to the song, so he never signed with the record label at a time when you either signed or you didn't get a deal. Like, you couldn't be a part of it. They would have replaced you with somebody else. But because he wrote everything for NWA, he couldn't be replaced. So as a young man, he was smart enough to know, I keep my publishing. A lot of artists don't have rights to anything. Even like Snoop's first album, Doggy Style, he doesn't own the rights to any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, other people own that because he was young and was pressured. And you know what I'm saying? So Cube has kind of been his own thing. Then he left because money wasn't right.
I've also been a big fan of Ice Cube since I was little. I'm not going to lie.
He has literally been, I'll do it myself. Like, Tyler Perry gets all the credit, but Cube has done the same thing, not just in music, but movies too. You know, he basically formed his own production company, his own movie company, and his own label. So here's a guy who literally never sold out ever in any form, employs his community, employs his people, doesn't clock in anywhere. Everyone works for him. And Don Lemon told him on national TV he needed to watch where he steps. So we have the cancel culture threatening gangster rappers now. That's literally where we're at now.
And yeah, I actually wrote a column about this, like, defending him. And it's like, we've gotten to this point where, like, because everyone, like, there was two sides, basically, right? People were either pissed he was, quote, working with Trump, or they're like, hell yeah, he's working with Trump. But that was, like, not even accurate. He was trying to help both parties. He was basically like, this, you know, this is stuff that's important to me, so I'm going to pursue all avenues. People were calling him hypocritical because he had said, like, in, you know, I would never endorse like a or like Trump. And it's like, see, like, you're hypocritical. It's like, no, like, he very well may and probably does still feel that way. He just cares more about getting things done than his own personal feelings.
The whole point is, like, when you got beef with someone, and Cuba's had beef, literally most of his rap songs, like, one of his best diss albums ever was like, I'll never have dinner with the president. Never have the president. He's making fun of the late Eazy-E because they were hypocritical, because they were like, you know, basically the police and the establishment and the government. So he has gotten to a point in his life that in his last album, he dissed Trump. He had a whole song about lock his ass up.
Right.
There's no question that he does not support or endorse
exactly
President Trump. Yeah. But this is the whole point about what it is when you are across the aisle and you have a different belief system. If there is a common goal that is for the betterment of American people, And especially when it comes in this situation, which is a betterment to help minorities seek equality and more opportunities to earn money for independence, he's going to listen to anybody. And he was advising them. So you have to look at the Trump side of it, who I guarantee you he's not a fan of his.
Right.
But they went to him and he listened. Because here's the thing. Nobody on the Democratic side was going to Ice Cube, CNN.
He tried. He even said he tried.
And that's something that I've heard over and over again. I think one of the things that sucked about Barack Obama being the first black president is that he was too cautious because he was the first black president and he didn't want to be a black president. He wanted to be everyone's president. So some of the things that you would have thought would have naturally happened when another brother reaches out to him of substance, it wasn't happening. And a lot of times I looked at that and I was like, I think he made a mistake there. But whatever you want to say about President Trump, and he's earned a lot of his own criticisms, I keep it real. But that's how it works. When people of differences, when men and women of differences come together for a common goal, in that process, understanding happens. Blind spots are opened up. And you learn something from each other, and you might realize that the misunderstandings between you can be squashed and grow into something else. And then you lose division. It doesn't mean you're going to be best friends afterwards and go play Xbox together. Like I said on the radio yesterday on the Annie Frey show, I said, if the Ku Klux Klan came out with a education system that's all inclusive and works for everybody and improves education across the board with higher teacher salaries and smarter and better testing, I'm going to listen. I'm going to show up at that meeting. Now, afterwards, they're going to go do their Klan stuff, and I'm going to go do my stuff. We're not going to hang out. But for a common goal of betterment, you're going to have that regardless of whatever your beefs are or your belief systems are. You come together because good things come from that. What made me mad is because whenever it's not their idea, it's a problem. Whenever
the fact that people even see it as hypocrisy, like they cannot understand. He hates the guy still, but he cares about this issue more than he hates the guy.
Yeah.
That is possible. Like, people don't even recognize that that's possible.
No, people do. It's just that people with platforms who wasn't their idea. Don Lemon, with all his criticism, is saying that you're going to be bamboozled and tricked. And if you're given a lot of money, that's not going to make you equal. Bruh, we live in a society that is more based on class than skin tone. When you have money and you have status, and you own things, not only is your own self-esteem better, your outlook is better. And I mean, who's not going to feel better having some of the better things in life that they've earned themselves, to buy their own home, to own their own car, you know what I'm saying, to send their kids to the best schools? Of course your life is going to be better. Of course you're going to be able to mingle with higher levels and do other things. Like, it's just ridiculous. You're not trading your stuff away. Yeah. I just thought it was just, and I went on this tirade about the Democratic Party, because in liberals especially, whenever it's not their idea or they're not controlling it, they hate it and they come out against it. Now, if it would have been the Platinum Plan put together by AOC, it would have been the most beautiful thing ever. And Don Lemon would have been having it run across his screen. Like, I literally said I would come on his podcast anytime, because I have questions for him as one brother to another. I have questions that you are literally attacking a brother from coming across the line. What the hell do you think Martin Luther King did?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? You think it's easy to just sit around and maybe he's getting spoiled because the only panels he has is people who agree with him.
That's true. You know,
when he does have somebody on the show who disagrees with him, he doesn't let him talk. Cruz, remember that? He couldn't get a word out. So yeah, it's just the hypocrisy of this. I always call it polite racism. You've heard me say it a million times. So where you can't do anything unless we help you, because black men and women are children to the Democratic Party. We just can't be trusted to do it on our own. Because if we do it on our own, we're going to get tricked. Something's going to happen. We need to be there to run it, to fund it, because you just can't do it without us. And it's just absolute hypocrisy where you're talking about we need to come together and we need to end division. Well, Ice Cube and President Trump two guys you would never put in the same sentence are willing to sit down and talk about something positive that can help a lot of people, and you have a problem with it. I it's sad to me because Don Lemon, especially with his history of wanting to support causes and uplift people, if that's truly who he is, should have been the one putting it together. He should have invited him on the show for this summit that where people could see and learn from this. But that's not what happened. They attacked Ice Cube. And I'm now living in bizarro land where cancel culture is telling gangster rappers,
right,
watch where you walk, homie.
Yeah.
You got Cuomo, Lemon, D.L. Hughley in an alley telling the brother who used to rock the Raiders coat with a Jerry curl. And I didn't need the Jerry curl because I had good hair. I just put a little water in mine. But telling us, hey, homie, watch where you walk. Don't come up in here.
Bizarro world.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, for real, that's where we at? That's where we at? Like, I just was like, hell no. I went off. I was only supposed to talk on the Annie Frey show for about 3 minutes. It was like 10 minutes in. But you could tell, like, her call lines were going nuts because I was just going off. And I was like, let me tell you something else. And she's like, this is the part where he's cussing a lot. And I'm like, sorry. Every once in a while, the thug in me comes out, and I didn't cuss a lot, Kat, but I did get a few asses and stuff.
You didn't cuss a little either.
No. I was heated. Like, I just could not believe this is the world we live in. That literally the most independent entertainer ever who did it his way and has never lost any of his creative rights to any of his art, his movies, anyone who's worked for him has lost money in movies and stuff like that, is being called a sellout by someone who works for a left-leaning place who has to do their agenda be on TV anymore. You think if he went the other way, that he would be on that spot anymore? No. I mean, it's just, though I hate using this word, but it was literally ludicrous. I was like, what is going on? I just call it a bizarre world. So I was not pleased. You know what I'm saying? That we live in this time where people, and I admire Q. I've met him a few times.
You're so lucky. I'm obsessed. Since I was a little kid.
We had beef at the Staples Center because he was all Lakered out and I was with Snoop and I had my Celtics stuff on. And this is when the Celtics was putting hands on the Lakers. And he was like, you gonna let this man wear this green? And Snoop's like, that's who he is. He's too big to tell him different. You know, we worked together in Australia. We traveled with them. We did a tour with them. His bodyguard crew, he's had the same OGs forever. Like, just good people, you know what I'm saying? And he's always done it his way. And I always respected that about him because not a lot of us have the courage to do that, where we think, oh man, the consequences is if I don't fall in line with what the people who pay me say, I won't have this money. And he took chances. So I think for anyone to call him a sellout is just ridiculous. I mean, he put Bill Maher in check when Bill Maher had his mistake and he had Cube on, and Bill Maher took it. And I had a lot of respect for Bill Maher when Bill Maher had that moment where he was dropping the N-bombs like what, you know? Yeah, yeah. With the Nebraska Senator. Nebraska Senator was like, oh no, sir, not me. And, you know, Cube told him like it was. So I just think it was really, it was a weird week, you know what I'm saying, where just when you think it couldn't get any more upside down, you got Don Lemon trying to bully Ice Cube. And the interview with Cuomo was like, he got Cuomo to admit the Democratic Party was not just or hasn't done much for the black community. But all Cuomo wanted him to say was he wasn't Team Trump. Like, you missed the whole point of the interview. It's just laughable to me where we're at. And then just when I think I see it all, I put on the new Borat movie and I got Giuliani in there. I was like, how do you get tricked by Borat?
Right. We already saw this movie. We know what's going on.
I mean, And he's like, I was adjusting my shirt. I'm like, why were you there in the first place, sir? You know, the misinformation and just, you know, and then to finish it all up, we had the debate last night. And I watched the whole thing. Did you watch the whole thing?
I also watched the whole thing. You know, it was kind of tough to watch the whole thing because it was just the same. Like, it's the same thing, you know, over and over again.
I just don't. Whoever President Trump's campaign manager is, I would just like a word with him. Well, it'll be a few words. And like, what are you talking about in your meetings? This is the last chance before that the two of you will be on the stage together before the general election. And this is your chance to sell what the next 4 years are going to be like with you. And you're talking about laptops and unsubstantiated, like if you're in your, if you're already voting for Trump, you got all that. And you were like, yeah, tell him. But if you're not, and you're on independent on the fence or trying to get information, or a moderate Republican who doesn't buy into that stuff, especially coming from Giuliani of all people, you didn't get any of that. Like when Biden hit him with the infrastructure thing, I was like, oh, here we go. Now we're gonna hear his infrastructure plan. Nope. You know, and we need more than beautiful healthcare plan. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And for Joe Biden, because your campaign painted this narrative that he was senile and that he was, you know, couldn't say make a sentence anymore and literally didn't know where he was and was going to wander off the stage, you know, and he didn't do any of that. You know, his Joe Biden has a stutter. And when it happens, it makes him more human to a lot of American people. And they don't get it. He's just not the guy to attack. And I think the President Trump, yeah, he did better than the first debate, but that's not saying much. I mean, hell. If he would set himself on fire, he would have been doing better than the first debate. But I think he missed an opportunity to let people know what a second term was going to look like. And he wasted his time still attacking Joe Biden. It just doesn't work. Like, it's not Hillary Clinton. Comey's not coming out tomorrow with an FBI report. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was bad, bad campaigning all the way around.
Everyone's like, I have a hard time believing there's really a such thing as an undecided voter at this point.
No, it's so much.
Ah! You know?
Like, I flip through channels and undecided voters, like, for real, I want to pull their shirts over their head like hockey and like happy at your favorite scene in Happy Gilmore. Like, oh, yes. For real? You're undecided? Whoa, I didn't know that. And just throw him over the side. Like the one, he was like 20 years old and he was like, well, I have issues with abortion, but, you know, I also am worried about, what was it? It was two completely things that have absolutely nothing to do with a 20-year-old young man in college. You know, like, and I was like, well, yeah, bruh, unless you have some issues in your dating life to where you need to be worried about that, that's really not what your issues are. You know, like, and then someone else was like, well, tonight, I really haven't heard a message from either side about what they're going to do for this country. Like, who's going to lead us through this COVID crisis? And I'm like, where have you been? Okay, you know what? We need to stop letting these people on TV. They get their little interviews, and they always are never decided. You know, like, I just don't know. Well, we'll have to bring you back next week and find out. These are the cliffhangers we don't care about. Tune in next week to see if he's decided. No, there'll be no tuning in. Like, it's just, I would like to be able to interview him. I just would like to, it would be like a cross-examination. You're undecided, huh? For real. What's your issue? Oh, well, you know, I'm concerned about the environment. Okay, so then you're probably going to go with Biden since he's more into, well, on the other hand, I don't like regulations. Okay, you know what? Get out. There should be a trap door. They should spoof it up. We should host it. Tyrus and Tim hold it.
Yes.
The undecided factor where everyone sits over a trap door, where Kat sits in a chair like Dr. Evil with a little red button and jeans and ask questions.
I was going to say jeans is a perfect fit for this.
Yeah. And then as you could, and literally we'll see jeans pawing at the red button as soon as they start talking, you know, cause it's just, come on, man. Like literally you're not decided. 50 million people have already decided. And I just feel like them getting TV time is ridiculous. I don't know whose idea this was. It's bad TV. You know, like, and here's the thing. There's six of you. And, like, where are you from? Alabama. You're undecided. Yeah. I think it's pretty much red, bruh. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, you know, maybe in Ohio, maybe in Wisconsin or Michigan or Florida. Pennsylvania, you know, there might be some undecided voters or whatever because they kind of swing back and forth. But even they've got their mind made up. So, I mean, I don't get what's going on right now. I don't understand why they don't. I mean, they watch our show, Kat, the Greg Gutfeld show with
Saturday nights, 10 p.m. only on Fox News Channel.
They watch us and we keep telling them, but they're not listening. It's like, I don't know what else to do. Like, do we need to get like a banner and fly it over the nation? Like, we laying it out for everyone to play it out, and they just don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely going to be that. I mean, like, it's not. It's going to be insane. Like it doesn't matter. Like, some people are like, "Oh, I can't wait for the election to be over." I'm like, you think the election's ever going to be over? Like, it's never over.
I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a big reveal. And whatever state votes for whatever candidate, that's going to be their president. Is it going to be the president? So we'll hear it's both of our jobs. And blue states will be President Biden, and red states will be President Trump. Undecided states will be sold off to Russia. That's what you get for not making up your mind. You're out. Like that's what I'm waiting for. The whole thing was a big ruse. Biden and Trump were on the same team the whole time. It was all a trick. Do we buy boxes of tissues for the losing side? Or do we board up the walls and wait for Armageddon?
Yeah, I think board up the walls. Tissues are too flammable.
Yeah, they can be easily stuffed in a, I'm not even saying it. What is it called again? It's the bomb, the cocktail bomb, the champagne
Molotov bomb. Cocktail.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. It was a whole episode, yeah. So, and speaking of episode...
Time to take a pee break or get that last minute snack because you don't want to miss the chilling conclusion of Tyrus and Timpf.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Kat, so Karen is sending Karen's flowers.
Florist named Karen giving out free flowers to Karens. The owner of an Edmonton flower shop is giving out free flowers to women named Karen, a promotion that's inspired by the infamous Karen meme. Karen Ferguson, owner of Flowers on 50th, said she and her sister thought of the idea when trying to come up with something to put on their sign after Thanksgiving. Quote, "It's a play on all the funny memes that are out there," Ferguson 48 said. "My name's Karen, and we're always laughing at all the jokes that get sent." Ferguson said she's not offended by the Karen meme, nor was she fully aware of all of its connotations when she created the promotion. She said the promo blew up, with many Karens visiting her store. Dozens of women named Karen shared their appreciation on the store's Facebook page.
And then the same Karens called the police on her later on that day.
Yeah.
Privacy, stalking them. She has my address. And there's flowers at my door. And don't let it be a brother delivery man. Oh, hell no. Karen ain't having that. There's a large black man outside my door with the flowers. He's leaving them at the front door. He's leaving them at the front door. He's walking away. He's walking away. He's littering in my front door. Like, I guarantee, like, Karen's, man, you can't. I wouldn't have done it. It's dangerous. Literally, all those Karens came to the store to confront. Like, how did you get my information? Who gave them to you? Was it Black Lives Matter? Was it?
Do you think there's like a drop in people naming their kids Karen?
There is. I looked, it dropped. Yes, I think it was 153 spots. But I can't believe it's not down to zero. I can't believe anyone would be naming their child.
So Karens were still going down in the like late, early 80s. But I think the new Karen names were extinct in definitely 95 and up. I don't think there's any new Karens in the 2000 unless like, you know, Nebraska or something, you know, but like I can't see it anywhere else. You know, it's like, well, you know what? Like that name George, you know, really popular in Britain in the medieval times. A lot of King Georges running around. It was like 2, 3, 4, the third, the second, you know, King George the 18th. I mean, there was a lot of Georges. It was a really popular name. Now, not so much. I mean, now we have people being named after Wi-Fi.
Great segue. That's our next story.
Yeah, I knew that.
Parents named their daughter after internet provider for free Wi-Fi. According to NPR, the new parents responded to an advertisement from TwiFi, a Swiss-based internet provider offering to provide free internet for 18 years to anyone who named their child after the service. Twifis for a boy and Twifia for a girl were the names chosen by the internet provider. In an interview with a local media outlet, the parents revealed, "The longer I thought about it, the more unique the name became for me. And that was when the thing got its charm." The parents, both 30 and 35, said they wish to remain anonymous and revealed that the child's first name is not, in fact, Twafia, but rather her middle name, which still counts, according to local reports. So, Twafia.
Yeah. I love my kids too much.
Yeah. I mean, I just, Wi-Fi, I mean, it's not like that expensive, right?
No,
where it's worth ruining a child's life.
Yeah. I think any Fia is not a good name, you know. Twifia, just no. I mean, no. I mean, that's I'd rather be called Karen, quite frankly.
No offense to all the Karens and Fias out there.
No, I'm saying, I mean, I guess Sophia is cool, but like Brofia, like no, you know.
Brofia actually would be an amazing.
Yeah. Brofia, dinner's ready. I hate you, Dad. Why? You know why? The Wi-Fi on your laptop you're on all day is the reason why, Brofia. I say dinner.
Brofia.
I never wanted Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, you know. It's just, you just don't do that to your kid, you know? You just don't. I mean, it's forever. Your name. Well, actually, it's until you're old enough to change it. But, and I'm sure that would happen real quick. You know, and kids remember stuff. Like, they're going to remember one day, they'll be flipping through the old family photo album and be like, what is this coupon for free Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
What? I was at a contest for free Wi-Fi and you don't share it with me?
Yeah, and that's why, like, your name's Brofia.
Yeah, and then when they leave, do they get, like, if they go off to college, I'm taking my Wi-Fi with me, bring the router, it's mine. I'm named after it. You know, there's a lot of just bad parenting. And, you know, speaking of good parenting, I saw my kids this weekend, my out-of-state kids, and we played Monopoly and Uno. Of course, I crushed them like bones under a rock, but I found out my son's a pretty good gambler. He was like, come on, baby, I need 4 for free parking, and he kept getting it. Their deals needed a little work. You know, like, I will give you $2,000 for Vermont. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. But just so you know, Vermont's worth $100. Just maybe drop it down a little bit. They also learn quickly not to lend family money. A lot of life lessons in Monopoly. My son's sister kept giving him money, and then he landed on his property. He was like, $100, please. And I was like, but your sister's been lending you money. He's like, those rules of the game. It's like, damn, what did we learn here, kids? Don't lend money to family, or at least don't expect to get it back. Cold-blooded. Like, it was, we had a blast. Uno was awesome. Draw four, draw twos. But, Kat, they changed the Uno game.
What do you mean?
They added, okay, Monopoly did too, and I just ignored it. Like, they have one chance now that you, like, throw all your money in the air and wave it like you just don't care and everybody can grab it. And I'm like, no, you don't do that at a bank. Like, you want to just reach in and grab hundreds from the bank and throw it in the air and everybody just grab it. There's no such thing as free money besides free parking, which is like your state lottery. But I was outraged. Like, you're not teaching them anything, or you're really pushing a life as a stripper. You know, like, I'm gonna make it rain on you. Like, these are really, you want families making it rain on each other? It's a horrible message. And there's, you remember the infamous draw four, right? Nothing was worse than getting a draw four. Unless you had another draw four, you could counter it, and then somebody's get a draw eight, game over. Now they have a wild card with a blank spot where you can put anything you want in there. And they have another one that's called shuffle the cards, where you pass, everyone switches cards. I was like, what are we doing here? This is not how this works. You know, but just leave the games. Like, Hasbro, bro, leave the games alone. Quit trying to make it easier for everybody. You're not helping anyone. Like, you're supposed to, there can be a loser. It's okay. Like, that's how we learn how to win. And it's just, like, it was just shocking to me, like, how many changes they attempted to make. At least I'll say for Monopoly, at least the version I got, they still had the dog, they had the hat and the car in there. They added a T-Rex, which I didn't have an issue with. But the general game was still, the core of the game was still good. And we played for like 3 hours, you know, and there was no TV on or video games or anything. And it was a lot of fun. It was one of the best visits I've had with my kid. And it was like emotional to leave them because we spent so much time together playing and laughing and jokes and stuff. The time just went flying by. So my message out there is that, you know, put down the iPads and break out a board game, especially with your kids, or especially during the pandemic, when you're stuck indoors, try a board game. It's crazy how much fun it could be. I forgot how much fun it could be. Unless, of course, you're sick of the people you live with, then it would be.
I like board games. I think they're fun.
They are fun. You think we play a board game with Greg?
What?
Could we play a board game with Greg, or would we get up and leave?
Yeah.
I feel like he's probably the guy who argues every role. No, I was on Park Place. Like, bro, you're on luxury tax. No, I was not. That was 3 turns ago. Like, every challenge will be a 8-minute monologue followed up by another monologue. I don't think he'd be fun to play games with. I feel like Dana Perino would be the same way. Like, what Fox News personality would be the most fun to play board games with, do you think? Outside of, obviously, us.
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy.
If we could put an all-star Monopoly Fox News board game together.
I would bet Dagan is very good at Monopoly.
Dagan, okay. Who would be the banker? I'd go with Judge Jeanine.
Oh, boy.
Vicious. No loans going in there. You're not getting a loan. Just because I want to see it, I would have Waters and Juan Williams in there just for the, you know, every turn is, there'll be no deals made, the cutthroatness of it. Who would we not invite to play for Fox News? Who would we not let play? I'm saying Charles Payne. He's too smart.
Yeah.
He would use all his financial trickery to talk us out of deals. Like, I really wouldn't invest in Vermont right now if I was you. For real? Why? It's a bad investment. It's just not good right now.
Yeah, he's very good at
Monopoly. Take off your hands right now. Like, I don't think anyone from Fox Business
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
You don't want to play. We got a ban.
No Gasparino. No Barty Romo.
No, no. And Geraldo's banned. Too many stories. Like, when it's he knows he's going to land, like he rolls an eight and he knows he's going to jail, he'll start telling, like, oh, you know, I did find Jimmy Hoffa's locker. I'll be like, no, Geraldo, just go. It's your turn. You landed in jail. No, no, let me tell you this one time in Desert Storm. No, Geraldo. Like, he will be a staller. So he's out. And I guess Chris Wallace, I'd like to see him on the game. Except when he starts narrating everybody's move. I bet he's that guy. He's like, Kat Timpf with dice in her hand. She's not as confident in this role as she was last time. Will she land pass go or will she land on my property and pay me $1,500? Because as everyone knows, but Chris, stop. Mr. Wallace, please. We get it. You have Park Place and Boardwalk. We get it. Yes, it echoes your accomplishments in life. So we understand. Please stop. Quit moderating this game. Let us just play.
Bill Hemmer would be good.
Yeah. Rupert Murdoch, nope. He'd just buy everybody. What? What is this paper money? I play with real money. Oh, I'm going home. Is there anyone else that would be awesome or not awesome at Monopoly? I feel like we're leaving somebody out. Britt!
Mr. Hume.
Yes, Mr. Hume. Would we let him play?
No, he would take it way too seriously.
Yes, he would take it so seriously. He would lean in, too. He would do his lean in when you're rolling. So, like, you couldn't have full use of the board. Like, you'd go to roll, and Britt would do the... You'd be like, bruh, back up. Back up. You know? And he would do things like, well, you know, Kat, it's too bad you're going to buy that property because I actually had a special assignment for you. I guess we'll just go in a different direction. And then, you know, then you're like, well, I guess I'm not going to buy St. James Place after all. Oh, Killamead can't play.
Yeah, I was thinking Killamead.
No, because he's going to have a historic – he's got the same problem Geraldo does where he's going to give us a historic lesson on – you know, Boardwalk was originally found in Atlantic City, and we're like, oh, yeah, okay.
He didn't have room for him at the table because he'd have his backpack on.
Yes, and he would him and Greg both would have the same other issue where they would need a booster seat. Yeah, and then Dana Perino I think would be too nice. She'd be fun to play with because she would make deals with everybody.
Except she'd be out pretty quick, probably though.
Yeah, and not to mention she'd keep leaving the table to check on Jasper, which could get annoying. Like, oh, real quick, I got to check on Jasper. Be like, he's fine. I'm sure he's doing the same thing he was doing 5 minutes ago. I just got to check, but it's your turn. Go roll for me, you know? I just don't, you know? Wow, this has been an amazing podcast.
I agree.
I feel like we should be sponsored by Hasbro after this.
I think we should.
Yeah. I think after COVID, we need to get that Monopoly game together.
I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah. And Devin, we did not mention you because you really wanted us to mention you. And I'm still pissed about the priest story. So
I debated putting it on this week, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can keep pouring salt in the wound, by all means, keep pouring. So what did we learn, Kat?
That people do anything for Wi-Fi.
Yep. And Ice Cube's on my team.
Oh, okay.
Even though he's being bullied by Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon.
Kat, you can have Brophia.
Okay, well, yeah.
Not a real person.
Brophia can bong a beer like no one's business.
You have to produce an actual person named Brophia, which I'm sure there'll be 8 of them who will be trolling me on Twitter now. Second generation Brophia Jr., bro, where you at?
I think the next pet either one of you get, you need to name it Brophia.
I would name any of my fish Brophia, and I have a lot. So that's where I stand on that. And for more podcasts like this, check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. I'm Tyrus. She's Pat. Devin still hasn't reported my story. Enough said.
Hi. I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.